Buckle up, everyone, because today's deep dive is taking us somewhere, well, let's just say it's a bit off the beaten path.
Ooh, I like where this is going. Hidden gems, secret histories. That's what we live for, right?
You know it. We're talking Schleswig-Holstein.
Schleswig-Holstein. Okay, I'm intrigued. I'll admit, I don't have a ton of preconceived notions about the place, which is great. Means we can go in fresh.
Exactly. And trust me, these sources, news articles, government websites, even some social media buzz, they're painting a picture that's way more interesting than your average travel brochure.
See, that's what gets me going. Those unexpected layers. You think you're getting the basic facts, but then bam, something completely throws you for a loop.
Yeah, like I saw windmills and coastlines, right? Pretty standard stuff. But then, sunken cities, digital pioneers battling deepfakes. And don't even get me started on the smoked fish controversy we'll be digging into.
Okay, now you're speaking my language.
Yeah.
See, this is why we do these deep dives. It's all about going beyond those initial impressions and uncovering the unexpected.
Right. And with Schleswig-Holstein, it seems like we're dealing with a place that's both deeply rooted in its history and traditions, but also charging headfirst into the future. A fascinating paradox.
It's like they're trying to bridge the gap between the old and the new, and I'm all for it. So where do we start our journey into this land of contrasts?
Well, let's start by grounding ourselves in some current events, shall we? I'm talking about those news headlines from schleswigholstein.de. What jumped out at you when you took a look?
Honestly, it was the variety. I mean, we've got everything from storm flood relief efforts, a stark reminder of their vulnerability to nature's forces, to articles about modernizing their railway system. It's like they're juggling these immediate challenges with these long-term visions for the future.
Okay, so they're not shying away from the tough stuff, but they're also looking ahead, planning for the future.
Precisely. And then, to top it off, they're at this smart country convention in Berlin. It's like they're saying, hey, we're a small state, but we're not afraid to be at the forefront of innovation.
Okay, I'm getting a sense of their ambition, that's for sure. This isn't a place content with just being picturesque. They want to be players on a larger stage.
Absolutely. And I think that's what makes this so exciting. They're not just resting on their laurels. They're actively shaping their own destiny.
Now, you're making me think about that sunken city you mentioned earlier. It sounds almost mythical. Are we talking Atlantis levels of legend here, or is there some historical basis to this tale?
Well, that's where things get really interesting.
Okay, sunken cities. We'll come back to that. But first, I got to ask about these Keeler Sprotten. I mean, it's right there in the name Keeler. But then you read a bit further and find out they're not actually from Kiel.
It is a bit of a head scratcher, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it really highlights how these food traditions, they often have these, well, let's call them twists and turns in their history.
Right, like some culinary curveball. So spill the beans. If they're not from Kiel, where are these famous Sprotten actually from?
Well, it turns out, Eckernförde, charming seaside town, not too far from Kiel itself. That's where these tasty little fish really call home.
Okay, so then how does Kiel end up getting top billing in the name? Did they just, like, borrow the brand recognition or something?
It's more a case of, shall we say, accidental marketing than any sort of grand scheme. See, Eckernförde had a much smaller harbor than Kiel back in the day. So practicality dictated that the Sprat, they'd be shipped out from the bigger port, which was, you guessed it, Kiel.
Ah, so it's like a logistical loophole that ended up defining the whole brand. It's funny how these things work out sometimes. But hey, while we're on the topic of names and branding, this whole digital anti-human thing that Schleswig-Holstein is promoting that really jumped out at me, it feels very much of the moment, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it speaks to a very real tension that a lot of places are grappling with right now, which is how do you embrace technological progress without losing sight of, well, what makes you human in the first place?
Right. It's like they're saying, we can have our high-speed internet and our strong sense of community, too. But I'm curious, how does that actually play out in practice? Is it more of a marketing slogan, or are they walking the walk, so to speak?
From what I've gathered, they're definitely putting their money where their mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
For example, their participation in that Smart Country Convention we talked about earlier, they were showcasing some really interesting initiatives there.
Oh, yeah. Like what?
Well, they were talking about their use of LoRaWAN technology.
LoRa what now? You've lost me.
Okay, so, in a nutshell, it's a way to connect devices over long distances without needing a ton of power.
So we're talking like rural broadband, that kind of thing.
Exactly. It's perfect for those more remote areas where it's not always cost effective to roll out traditional broadband infrastructure.
Okay, so that's pretty cool, using cutting-edge tech to bridge the digital divide. But they're also tackling some of the, shall we say, less rosy aspects of the digital age, right? Like that whole deep fake problem that's been causing such a stir.
Absolutely. They're not shying away from those ethical considerations at all. In fact, they have this initiative, they call it Deepfake Detectives. It's all about educating people about the dangers of deepfakes and developing tools to spot them.
Okay, that's smart. Because honestly, it feels like we're on the verge of this whole post-truth world where you can't believe anything you see or hear. But deepfakes, I mean, trying to fight those, it feels like playing whack-a-mole, doesn't it?
It's a huge challenge for sure. But I think it's commendable that they're not just throwing their hands up in the air and saying it's too big a problem. They're actively trying to find solutions.
I like their style. Okay, but let's switch gears for a minute and talk about something near and dear to my heart. Culture. Specifically, those five, count them. Five UNESCO intangible cultural heritage traditions you mentioned. Five. That's got to be some kind of record for a single state, right?
It's definitely impressive. And it speaks to the incredible richness and diversity of Schleswig-Holstein's cultural heritage.
Okay, so enough with the teasers giving the rundown. What kind of traditions are we talking about here?
Well, prepare to be amazed because we've got everything from like horseback riding competitions to ancient building techniques, even a boat that's like a symbol of resilience. It's a real smorgasbord of tradition.
Okay, you've definitely piqued my curiosity. Let's start with something that sounds, well, a little more high action. This ring-riding horseback riding competition, you said. Tell me more.
So picture this. You've got a whole procession of riders on horseback, right? All decked out in traditional garb, looking very stately. And they're galloping along, lances in hand, aiming to spear this tiny little ring.
Okay, that sounds like something out of a movie. And a tad bit dangerous, no.
It definitely takes a lot of skill, that's for sure. But it's not just about showmanship. What's fascinating is that Tippisch SH, they suggest this whole tradition might have evolved from this like practical necessity. Back in the day, it was a way for people to demonstrate their riding skills, you know, just in case they needed to defend their community.
So it's rooted in this idea of being prepared, being ready to protect your own. I love how these traditions often have these like hidden layers of meaning. Speaking of which, those bonfires on the beach, the bike Brennan, that sounds a bit more my speed. Less lance wielding, more marshmallow roasting, right?
Well, I wouldn't recommend roasting marshmallows over these bonfires. They're massive. Imagine this. Towering flames, lighting up the night sky, casting these flickering shadows across the sand. And the air is filled with the crackle of the fire, people singing traditional songs. It's quite the spectacle.
Okay, you had me at towering flames, but there's got to be more to it than just, you know, a really big bonfire, right? What's the deeper meaning behind this tradition?
It's all about transition. See, this takes place in February, marking the end of winter, the beginning of spring. So it's this symbolic way of saying goodbye to the darkness, welcoming back the light and the warmth.
I love that. It's like a ritual for shaking off the winter blues. Okay, so we've got our equestrian skills on display, our bonfire ritual to chase away the winter.
Right.
What about that boat you mentioned, the one that's like a symbol of resilience? How does a boat become such a powerful symbol?
Well, the Helgoländer Dampferbåt, it's not just any boat. It represents this like lifeline for the islanders. See, Helgoland, it's this island out in the North Sea. And this boat, it symbolizes their connection to the mainland, their determination to stay connected, even when the weather's rough, the seas are
Yeah,
treacherous.
it's about that unwavering spirit, that refusal to be isolated. I dig it. Okay, before we get too carried away with boats and bonfires, we can't forget about the other two UNESCO traditions, the theater and the thatching, right?
Right. So Niederdeutsche Theater, it's all about keeping the Low German language alive, but it's also about preserving a whole cultural identity. It's a way for them to tell their stories in their own words, on their own
Wow.
terms.
It's like this living, breathing link to their heritage. And then there's the Rietdekker Handwerk. Try saying that five times fast. It's about thatching roofs with reeds, right?
It is, and it's amazing, you know, because on the surface, it's a very practical skill, but it goes deeper than that. It represents this deep connection to nature, to using these traditional sustainable materials.
Yeah.
Plus, you got to admit, those thatched roofs, they're just so charming.
Okay, they really do add to the whole fairy tale aesthetic, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
So we've got horseback riders, bonfires, a resilient boat, traditional theater, and thatched roofs. Schleswig-Holstein, it's like a greatest hits compilation of culture and history.
It really is. And you know, it's funny because we started with this seemingly simple collection of sources, but look where we ended up. We uncovered sunken cities. We explored this fascinating dance between tradition and innovation. We even cracked the case of the misnamed fish.
That's the beauty of these deep dives, right? You never know where they're going to take you.
Exactly. So, to our listeners out there, if you ever find yourselves with a chance to explore Schleswig-Holstein, don't hesitate.
Yeah.
You might be surprised by what you discover.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And with that, we'll wrap up this deep dive into the heart of Schleswig-Holstein. Thanks for joining us.